At Arizona State University, we offer a wide variety of degree programs online to match all kinds of interests and career aspirations. Programs that are taught by the same notable faculty who teach on campus and designed using innovative technology to improve learning outcomes and equip you for post-graduation success. That's why 87% of ASU online graduates indicated they were promoted at work or received an increase in salary after earning their degree. Find your program at asuonline.asu.edu.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Welcome to the Believe Induced podcast. I'm Steve Wiseman, joined by Sheldon Williams. Sheldon, it's a beautiful March day, and the Blue Devils are coming off a big win. How are you doing?
Doing great. I mean, after watching the first game, they followed up with this James Madison game as well. So I'm doing pretty good. We're still dancing right now.
That's right. The Blue Devils are through to the Sweet 16. Two big wins. Coming up next game is against the top seed in the region, Houston, and that down in Dallas. That'll be a tough battle, but that's what March is all about, right? You got to win tough battles. You're going to keep on moving. So we're going to break down the James Madison win and really what we saw in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament from the Blue Devils and the ACC. And then we're going to get into looking at the matchup with Houston, which is going to be a tough one. But again, that's what March is all about. You got to win tough games. So before we go any further, we remind everybody that Bet Online is a sponsor of the Believe in Duke podcast. Appreciate their support for a long time now. And Sheldon, what can you tell us about Bet Online?
The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season. With the best bracket contests out there, odds, lines, and information on every game in every round, right up to the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. And even track your bracket in real time all the way through the tournament. Head over to Bet Online today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here.
Thanks, Sheldon. Yeah, I appreciate that. Bet Online's a good sponsor for us. And we have another new sponsor, a different way to go about betting, the Cut social media betting app. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states. Cut, it's K-U-T-T, has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments, no need for Venmo. Use our promo code BELIEVEDUKE, that's B-L-E-A-V, Duke, for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget to use that promo code. Cut, put your money where your mouth is. Well, the Blue Devils certainly came out aggressive and really, you know, it was so good to see how they talked about how they wanted to take control of the game, kind of throw the first punch. That was a lot of talk the day before the game. But, you know, they did it in a big way, didn't they, Sheldon?
They did. And the thing is, I was thinking about it, and I was like, I had said this in past episodes where I wanted us to throw the first punch instead of us always kind of waiting to get hit first, trying to, you know, react from that. And the fact that we threw the first punch, the second punch, the third punch, the fourth punch, the knockout, we were punching all game from start to finish. And it wasn't a thing where we had let up. We got a big lead, and we continued to build on that lead. It wasn't like, oh, we got, you know, we just kind of lost focus, or we just whatever. When you get a big lead, sometimes that happens. But we were still dialed in the whole time. And the fact that I saw some more growth with this team, where we were able to throw all these punches, get the lead, and everybody's still doing the same things that got them that lead to extend that lead. So I was very proud of our guys for doing that.
It was such a tremendous performance, and it's what you want at this time of year. You want to be playing your best basketball in March, and that's exactly what that game was. You know, it reminded me of, you know, they hadn't really played that way since probably the Virginia game at home. And before that, I mean, you know, as far as on that stage, like when they played Baylor back in December in the Garden, to play against an opponent of that style and that talent, to play that well. And, you know, James Madison, you know, was an underdog right there with the 12 seed, but Duke didn't take them as looking, oh, like there's bracket luck. We got the 12 seed, you know, because of the way they attacked Wisconsin and took Wisconsin out of that game. Wisconsin was down 15-4. It was done. They had no chance, right? Exact opposite happened. The Blue Devils came out, you know, Jared McCain, his first shot. The first shot was a three-pointer by Jared McCain. Certainly set the tone for the day because McCain had the big day with 30 points, 8 three-pointers. And then, you know, went on from there and, you know, look up, Duke's up 15-5, 31-15, you know, just on and on. And once it got to double digits, it never got back into single digits. And that was the biggest thing. I talked to the guys after the game about that. Like, you know, I talked to Chris Carriwell, assistant coach too, associate head coach. What'd you see in the guys' faces? And he said it was a hunger like maybe you hadn't seen it many times this year, right? That they wanted to just stomp on this team and make it an easy day. And, boy, that's what they did. And to do that against a team that's going to come at you defensively, we've seen Duke sometimes get off to slow starts, and then you let the underdog stay in the game. That didn't happen. And really, you know, a lot of things to talk about here, but only one turnover for Duke in the first 10 or 11 minutes of the game. Wisconsin had, like, 10 by that point, and that's what got James Madison in their lead. So really, the ball handlers really did a great job, didn't they?
Definitely. I mean, we only had 6 turnovers for the whole game, and that right there kind of speaks volumes of what we were doing. I mean, we had 2 turnovers at the halftime, 6 for the whole game. The fact that we were taking care of the ball, I'm sure that was emphasis going into the game, where Wisconsin kind of shot themselves in the foot, you know, with their own self-turnovers. We knew that James Madison is going to be a really good team, a very physical team, and we brought that to them. And it's almost like the old saying, you know, bullies don't like to get bullied. So when you bring the physicality to a physical team, sometimes they don't really like, you know, getting that or receiving that. So the fact that we actually took it to them, and we actually kept, you know, putting our foot on the gas the whole game, and it doesn't help. It doesn't hurt to have, you know, McCain, you know, have a breakout, you know, 3-point shooting game, you know, 10 for 15 shooting, you know, just 30 points, like you said before. But the fact that we were hot, you know, Proctor, he had 4 threes, wound up having 18 points, you know, Roach kind of battling, you know, his dislocated, I think it was a pinky, yeah. You know, him still trying to, you know, fight through it, and he's still giving us 15 points. You know, we didn't have, you know, Flip, I think he had 14, but we didn't need a lot of other things going on for majority of our players, Jeremy and Proctor, and of course McCain really carried the load for as Flip as well for our scoring. But our defense was just so amazing. Where last game we thought our defensive scheme was pretty on point, and then you go to the next game, and this was pretty on point. So I can't wait to see what happens against Houston. Even though there's kind of a home game for Houston, because, you know, it's only a few hours from Houston going out to Dallas. But mm-hmm. the fact that the way our team has been growing, especially this late in the year, it's been amazing to watch. And I'm thinking that if we continue to be locked in, especially on the defensive end, and we take care of the ball on offense, you know, whoever's going to score is going to score. But the way that we're doing balanced scoring, I think that's been very awesome for us.
Yeah, the defense has been really, really good the last two games for sure. And really, even against NC State, they only scored 74 points. That wasn't, you know, Duke's pretty good when they don't give up 80. And then, so that was more about, you know, not getting the shots down in that game. But the last two games, you know, Holden, Vermont, they only scored 47 points. That was 25 points below their season average. So, and then again, you know, with James Madison only scoring 55. Those are the kind of defensive performances that win you games in the NCAA tournament. Whether, you know, in fact, talking to the guys in the locker room after the game, you know, we're talking about Jared McCain, which he had a great game. Nobody's denying that. But, like, they didn't even really need that. They would have won without him. You know, take away 30 points, you still win the game, 63. Because my point was the defense was so good. Like, they're like, hey, if we play defense like that, like, they can roll out of bed and score 60 points, you know? So,
yeah.
Right? So if you hold somebody to 55.
yeah, definitely. I mean, you said it. I mean, they held them to a 38% shooting from field goal and 22% from the three. So, I mean, if you're doing that, offense going to come. I mean, that's just the way the basketball game goes. But offense going to come. It doesn't hurt to have a breakout game like, you know, Jared McCain had for us, you know, this past game, you know, 22 points in the first half and 30 all overall. But it goes back to Duke basics, and Duke basics has always been a defensive team, and then we go and be a run and gun, you know, type of our team. So for us to have that, I think it's great to have it now, especially in late in the year. You know, we saw that at times throughout the season, but this is the first time I'm seeing it throughout the whole game, and with us being locked in throughout the whole game and continue to carry and build on what we've been doing, it's been the best thing to watch.
It's very connected basketball on both ends of the court.
Connected basketball.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing. You can watch them play defense. There's a lot of communication, you know, switching up all over the place. It's so important to play that way. And I mean, we've mentioned McCain a few times here. I really want to get into what he did, you know, hitting that first three. And then, you know, it was kind of like the Florida State game, right? Where we had 8 3 pointers in that game and they beat, he had 35 points. This one, he set the Duke single game record for 3-pointers in a tournament game, mm-hmm. Which I had forgotten. Quinn Cook had set that record, but it was in the loss to Mercer back in 2014. If you remember that?
Poor
Quinn.
We don't really want to talk about, you know, that game or the game before that, but yeah.
It's like poor Quinn. That's like the record he held, but it was like, you know, kind of a dubious record because of what happened in the game overall.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, JJ had 5 in a game, and there were other great performances that you saw, you were part of, and but McCain, he has that ability. And we kind of felt it. Remember, Duke had not shot well from three the previous couple of games. It had been kind of eh. And then I think we even talked about, like, they were due for, like, an onslaught. Somebody was going to get it.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, watching in person after I came up to the Louisville game and he's shooting, I know you said before, but him shooting after the games and him, that's just like his regular routine where he always wants to go out and shoot after the games. Seeing that in person kind of reminded me of a guy that was not satisfied with how he's been playing. He continued to do the work. And I think McCain has been doing that all season. And all of a sudden, it was bound to have explosions. You know, at some point, it's bound to have explosion. And great for us, it had explosion against a team that, you know, people were saying that could have been like, you know, the upset team, blah, 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 like you said, with the 12 seed. But I think that was great and right on time for us. You know, shows us a lot of about Jerry McCain, that he has been putting the work all year, and it's now starting kind of to show, especially a time that we really needed to show.
Definitely. And he, you know, I wrote about him at the News and Observer. I wrote a few stories about him, but mainly back in the preseason, about his work ethic and his routine. He gets up every day and he meditates. and he's in the gym by 6:15 in the morning before you go to class. And then you said, like, after the game, after every home game, he's back out there shooting. Everyone, no matter how he does, he's out there shooting. He's got a routine and a workout that he's going to stick to. And it gets him through the rough times when, you know, as you know, you don't have a great game every night, and the ups and downs of a season can kind of mess with you mentally. And all the other players on the team have just raved about his maturity for a freshman. And Ryan Young even told us that, like, back when they were voting for captains, he voted for McKay to be a team captain. This was in, what, October, November, right before the season started. That tells you what type of impact he has in the locker room and on this team, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for a freshman to get consideration for a Duke, you know, captain, which is a very serious thing in the Duke basketball program, to be a captain, yeah, that speaks volumes about who you are, how's your character, and how you actually approach the game on a day-to-day basis, not just games, but practices as well. So it shows a lot that he has his head on his shoulder at an early age, and people are willing to actually listen to what he says, and he's leading by example, as well as being a good character guy. So it says a lot about, you know, who he is, and, you know, shout out to his parents, you know, and whoever else was helping, you know, guiding him to be the person that we see, you know, before us today. But the fact that he had this much discipline at a young age, and, you know, we don't really see that much. And the fact that he has that, he's going to be a really good player, whether he's going to be still here or out in the pro level. It's going to be awesome to see his development.
Right. A couple more things about that game before we move on to Houston. You mentioned Jeremy Roach with the pinky injury. He dislocated that pinky in the first half. Now, I was watching over there on the bench. He had a towel over his head, and Jose Fonseca was working on the hand, like, they, you know, they had mm-hmm. to pop it back into place.
Right.
Yikes. But yeah. And then he taped it up, and he came back in and played. And Jeremy's a tough number, man. He's going to play, and luckily it was on his left hand. He's a shooter, right-handed shooter, so that helps. It didn't seem to impact him. He played pretty well the rest of the game, and so. He, when I talked to him after the game, he did admit that it hurts. I mean, it obviously hurt, but he was going to be fine for Friday night. So that's a good sign. Jalen Blake's, boy, that was scary, wasn't it?
yeah, definitely. It definitely was. I mean, I don't know. When I first saw that, I was like, don't let it be broken or whatever, because, you know, we're playing way too well right now. And for us to have, you know, that type of adversity, I was like, no, not right now. It's not the good time. Yeah. It's not time for it. Like, you know, I was like, all right. I was like, Jeremy, hopefully you're not hurt. You know, go ahead and wrap that thing up and get back out there and play. Because, you know, we playing really well right now. And I mean, I might be a little bit selfish, whatever, but I was like, hey, we're clicking on all cylinders. We got to keep this going. We can't have another stop like this. So, but like you said, it speaks volumes to what know who he is as well, because, you know, a lot of people will kind of, like, you know, favorite or kind of be ginger with it, and he was too much of him in the moment to let that stop him. And whether it had been on his right hand or his left hand, I think he was still, you know, gave it a shot to try to, you know, be out there for his team.
Definitely. And I think Jalen Blake's is going to be okay after that nasty, that flagrant foul late in the game when he tried to cock that dunk back and James Madison player Friedel. You know, I guess it was a basketball play, right? He was trying to block the ball. So that's why it wasn't a flagrant two. But it was clearly an intentional foul. There's any doubt about that. Boy, it was a scary, scary fall by Jalen Blake's. Wow.
It definitely is. And the thing is, when you have a situation where you've been on a team that's been winning all this time, and you're seeing the light kind of going out of your season a little bit, you kind of and I don't think he did. I don't think it was actually purpose, whatever. It's just more so, like, you know, a situation where your season getting ready to end, and frustration with that happened, and he tried to, you know, foul a little too hard. I don't think his intent was actually to just try to take, you know, Jalen out. I'm hoping that's the case, but the fact that that happened, and, you know, I'm glad that it wasn't more serious than what it could have been. But yeah, it's unfortunate, but sometimes it does happen like that in the game of basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was good to see him, you know, come back out on the bench and be kind of laughing and joking as the game ended. So I didn't get to talk to him after the game because he was, they were at concussion protocol, you know, they kind of had him off to the side, not around everybody else. So trying to see, make sure he's okay, but it seemed like he's going to be. So let's hope best for that. That turned out to be, that happened right in front of where I was sitting. And it was just the thud. When he hit the floor, man, I don't know how he didn't, I think I didn't break something. Cause I thought sure he was going to, cause he was so out of control. But anyway, so that's good. I think, obviously without Caleb Foster, you kind of shorthanded in the backcourt anyway. So you don't want to see any more guards go down at all. And, but I think they're both, you know, going to be okay, be ready for Houston. And that's where we turn the attention to Houston. And the next game Duke has in the NCAA tournament here, because Houston is has been a very, very good defensive team this year. They are number one in the country as far as, you know, only allowing 57 points a game, and teams only shooting 38% against them for the season. They're tops in the country in defense. The knock against them has been, you know, they have a hard time getting they're not a great scoring team. They're not as obviously as good a scoring team as they are a defensive team. You want to try to, you know, exploit them that way. But this is going to be another game where you're going to have a veteran team, you know, with, they have seniors. They have Jamal Sheen, LJ Cryer, Juwan Roberts, a junior, Javier Francis. You know, these are seniors and juniors in their starting lineup. They've played together a lot. They've had a great season. And Duke's going to have to come out and, you know, obviously, they want to throw the first punch, right? If you can, be better. But at some point, even if you throw the first punch, you're going to have to absorb a push from Houston. They're going to come back. They're going to fight because they're a senior team and a veteran team. So what kind of mindset do you want to see the Blue Devils come out with on Friday night, Sheldon?
The same mindset they had against James Madison. That same mindset. I mean, having the focus of being able to throw the first, second, third punch and keep punching until it seems to become a knockout. Having that same mentality against Houston, the same way they had against James Madison, would be the same, you know, same exact in the game plan that we had, you know, from Vermont to James Madison and going into Houston. So it's almost like we got stepping stones where we've been getting better and better on the defensive end, and it's translating over to our offensive end as well. So I think that's going to be something that we need to really look into, just copying and building on what we've been doing the last couple of games. So I'm thinking that's the game plan. I'm sure there's been some tweaks here and there that, you know, John Shire is going to be able to put in and implement. But I think, you know, if we look at it as, hey, people are counting us out, people are expecting us to, you know, lose, we are going to have our backs against the wall type thing. I think that will bring us together a little bit more and show the world that, you know, we belong here. This is not a mistake. We're here in the Sweet 16 for a reason. Side note, we got four ACC teams here in the Sweet 16 after SEC having 7 or 8 teams, Big 12 having 7 or 8 teams, and we have the most teams in the Sweet 16, even though the ACC keeps getting disrespected. So a little bit side note, but just letting them know that once we continue to build on what we've been doing against, you know, the last couple games, I think we'd be very fine into this game. I know Houston is going to have a big crowd because they're basically a home team right now in Dallas. Yeah. And they have a really good defensive coach with Sampson and things like that. I think that we need to continue to build on what we've been doing. But the fact that I was watching that game against Texas A&M, and they almost gave that game away to Texas A&M. And that was the thing that I was trying to figure out, like, what's going on with Houston, because they had a lead, and all of a sudden they kind of gave it up a little bit, went to overtime, and then kind of took care of themselves in overtime. So I don't think that Houston is – you know, the juggernaut, or, you know, number two team. I know you said overall rankings and things like that. I don't think it's going to be that big of a juggernaut for us, but I think it's going to be a test for us if we don't do the things that we've been doing the last couple games.
Yes, that connected play, particularly, you know, on offense, it's going to be important because they are an aggressive defensive team. They force, they create a lot of steals. A lot of the turnovers that are committed against Houston are live ball turnovers. So that should be an area where Duke's going to be okay. I say that because three guards, right? That's the whole idea of having that kind of lineup. And this year as a whole, we've talked about it numerous times, Duke's been a very good team at protecting the ball. We saw that against James Madison with only 6th in the whole game. So that's going to be a big thing. Houston contests shots all over the court. It's hard to get an open shot against them. So, you know, moving the ball is going to be so important. And we've seen, you know, at times, again, everything was great against James Madison. The ball went in the basket, right? So the passing, you know, Duke's been very good at making that extra pass to get a little more open shot than the guy before you had. I think that'll be a big thing to watch. You know, it's just going to be, you got to beat your best. There's no way around it. You got to beat your best when you get to play this team. And it is on their not their home court, but it's in their home state. And they earned that. They're the number one seed in the South region.
Yeah,
so That's what you get. But, yeah, I want to real quick go back to what you said about the ACC. 4 in the Sweet 16. Clemson came through, took care of Baylor. Carolina, you know, walloped Michigan State. And, of course, NC State keeps rolling.
Yeah.
Amazing. They're going to be in Dallas as we tape this. I'm getting ready to go to the airport this morning to head to Dallas myself. And News Observer will have a whole team there. My colleagues will be there covering NC State as well. So we're going to have two ACC teams in Dallas back-to-back. The ACC doubleheader. Wouldn't it be cool if the Wolfpack and the Blue Devils beat in the regional final in Dallas?
Right. I mean, we play y'all in the conference. Now we got to play y'all again for the rematch from the conference tournament type thing. But but you know, looking ahead, but you know, we can't overlook Houston. So Houston is a real deal team that we actually got to pay attention to. So we can't look at anything else. And whoever meets us after that, you know, meets us after that. But no, that would be kind of a funny thing if two ACC schools are playing against, you know, each other in the tournament, you know, especially this team in the tournament. So, but it's going to be interesting. I mean, I do think that this tournament has been pretty, pretty exciting, you know, for the most part for all the teams. And I think especially just having four ACC schools in the Sweet 16 speaks of volumes about our schools, even though that we got, you know, talked about majority of the time and we're not as tough as we used to be and things like that. But yet we're still here. We're still hanging on.
When the games are for real, the teams show up, right? Every year, every year. Yeah. This is like last year, Miami made the Final Four. A year before that, Duke and Carolina made the Final Four. Like, it happens. I don't care what you say about the regular season and all that. When they get in the tournament against these other conferences, they take care of business. I mean, so that's the way it goes. That's the bottom line. Right. Mic drop. That's it.
Yeah, mic drop. Exactly.
So, Duke's going to look to continue that Friday night against Houston. This will be a big game. This is, you know, 1 versus 4 in the region. So this is the seeds have played out. This is what we expected to have happen. So Duke is where they should be, and so is Houston. And it's time to get it on. Let's see what happens on Friday night in Dallas. It'll be a late night. It's going to be at 10 o'clock Eastern.
I know. Come on, man. I know it's prime time and everything, but geez.
I know. I get used to it. We all do watching, following Duke. These late night games, man. It always. I will say, last weekend in Brooklyn on the Sunday games, we were waiting for the times to come out. You know, I was kind of thinking, maybe they'll put both games on CBS in the afternoon, you know, UConn in one and Duke in the other. And they put Duke at the 5 o'clock game, the prime position heading right into the 60 minutes telecast. That's how CBS kind of decides. That's the prime game they want to have on to get the biggest audience. And then they stuck UConn on True TV after that. So I guess that tells us what they think of the two programs, right? Because
there you go. There you go.
They're not putting Duke on True TV. I'll tell you that.
Very true. Very true.
So anyway, well, that's going to do it for this edition. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks to Bet Online for their sponsorship and Cut, our new sponsor. Sheldon, I hope you have a comfortable place to watch the game Friday night. I will be in the American Airlines Center. You've probably played there, haven't you? Did you play there when they?
Yeah, the Mavs, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So this will be my first time being in that arena, so I'm looking forward to checking that one off the list.
Okay. Yeah. I'll probably be in bed watching, so yeah.
Late night, baby. All right. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on this one. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll be back on Saturday with another episode talking about the regional final, I guess is the plan, and that's what we'll do. So we will join you all then. Thanks a lot.
All right. Let's go do it.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Your skin refuses to be defined by age. That's why Agency creates personalized anti-aging formulas that smooth fine lines, lighten dark spots, and improve the appearance of dark circles. Each formula is tailored to you and prescribed by a licensed dermatology provider. Formulas are customized with clinically proven ingredients like tretinoin, which is up to 20 times stronger than retinol. Get your first month free at withagency.com. That's withagency.com. $4.95 shipping and handling subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel any time.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.